Local Talk is the signature local interview program on KHOI that explores people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. It celebrates the creativity, diversity, and civic spirit of our community. This interview aired on Local Talk.
Name of my business is Jim and Eat Crickets, and essentially what I do is I raise crickets for human consumption. I raise crickets from egg to fully grown. I kill them, I roast them, and make them into tasty treats that are not only delicious, but they are packed with nutrition.
What products are you actually selling?
So I do actually do dry roasted whole crickets, and I season those up. I have a whole bunch of different seasonings. I mix all of my own seasonings.
So that's kind of like a chip, a potato chip?
Yeah, or? Like a potato chip, or I always liken it to like a sunflower seed, because texture-wise, that's kind of what it's like. It's just very crunchy, and flavor-wise, honestly, a plain cricket has about the flavor of a sunflower seed.
And does it still have its legs and antennas?
Legs, eyes, everything. So, like I said, some people are really grossed out by that.
Do some people buy them?
Oh, quite a few people buy them.
Okay.
Whether it be for the novelty factor, but then again, you get people who are like people who are following a ketogenic diet, which is high fat, low carb. For those people, to get a salty, crunchy snack, like a savory snack that's not pork rinds, is difficult. So dry roasted crickets are a great option for that. And I've had quite a few keto people come and buy those because they're like, I needed something other than pork rinds that's crunchy and savory, and this is perfect. I also make protein bars.
Out of crickets?
Yes. So I take the dry roasted crickets and I grind them into a fine powder that I call cricket flour. And then I mix that cricket flour into protein bars. So if you've ever had like a Lara bar or an RX bar where it's all whole foods, so it's dates and nuts and then dried fruit or whatever you use to flavor it, it's the same concept that I use with my bars.
What flavors do they end up having?
Oh my gosh, I have tons. Peanut butter chocolate chip, coconut chocolate chip, mixed berry, mm-hmm. chocolate mint, all sorts.
So you sell whole crickets.
Yep.
Protein bars made out of crickets.
Yep.
Any other products?
Yeah, so I also do the cricket flour. So you can use it as a protein powder, so you can mix it right in a smoothie. You can mix it into hummus for a little bit of extra protein, a little extra nutrition. It's whatever you want to do with it. The beauty of it as well, as a protein powder, if you go buy whey protein or you go buy something, some vegan protein from the store, chances are like it's incredibly processed. The FDA doesn't really require that the supplement companies disclose exactly what's in it. So you don't really know what's in your protein powder. If you're using this cricket flour as your protein powder, I can tell you exactly what's in it. It's 100% crickets.
Can it actually be used as flour, or this is more of a protein powder?
No, it can actually be used as flour. You can bake with it.
You make bread with it?
You can bake bread with it. There's a certain ratio of 2/3, 1/3 of regular flour to cricket flour, and you can put that in any recipe that calls for flour, whether it be gluten-free or regular flour. I've just started to figure out sourdough bread. So I made my own starter from scratch and all of that. And it's taken me forever to actually figure out the way to get it to rise properly and not, it's been a nightmare. but ideally I want to do a cricket sourdough bread.
I noticed your business's t-shirt.
Yes.
It says Jim and Eat Cricket.
Yeah.
So I see you're also playing on the health food.
Yeah.
Humorously with the name of the company.
Yes.
Has Disney contacted you yet?
They have not.
For royalties on
yes,
the name?
Yes, they have not.
Actually, when I was in the farmer's market, I heard somebody ask you if you had a gym.
Yes. Yeah, I get that. Yes, yeah. I get that a lot. You know, I get a lot of people are like, do you have a gym? I'm like, not yet.
Well, maybe you should.
You know, and that is, ideally, I would love that. Because I love the whole package.
You're essentially a cricket farmer.
I am a cricket farmer. You know, if you asked me a year ago today if I was going to be a cricket farmer in 365 days, I would have told you were crazy, but here I am.
Okay, so tell us how it happened.
Yeah, so, well, long story short, well, actually, I suppose I'll just go into the long story. About a year ago, I quit my job as an investment banker. I was over in Dublin, Ireland, trading equity derivatives for National Bank of Canada. I'd done that for about 3.5 years. I had originally gone over to Ireland with a program called Sport Changes Life. It's a bit of a community outreach program that uses sport as the medium to further certain values within kids.
So you were in Ireland playing basketball.
Yeah. So I was actually in Dublin. We were called Victory Scholars. Myself and another girl from Massachusetts. We were the first group that were in Dublin. And so we got our masters, played professionally over there, and then coached in underprivileged areas. So it was the first year that we had people in the south of Ireland, in Ireland, as many people think of it. And the reason that we played basketball is because the Catholics and the Protestants have been at each other for hundreds of years. And in Belfast, to the point where, you know, there's still the peace wall and everything that separates the Catholics and the Protestants. But basketball is a non-denominational sport. It's not one that's associated with a particular religion. In Ireland, rugby and soccer tend to be Protestant sports, whereas the Gaelic sports like hurling and Gaelic football are obviously Catholic sports. So basketball is just a complete anomaly because nobody really played it. It was very unifying in that way. If you were playing basketball, you were just a basketball player. And so that was what I did for the first year. I got my master's in finance at Trinity College in Dublin, and then really enjoyed playing with the team that I was playing with. So I decided to stick around and stay for another year and went searching for a job. Wound up on a trading desk at the National Bank of Canada's Dublin location and stuck around there for another 3.5 years.
So now you're in Dublin and you're working in a bank.
Yep.
And you're also still doing the basketball?
For the first year that I was working with the bank, I played basketball. In that first year, I was kind of in an internship role, so time demands weren't quite as bad. And then I got moved to trading about a year into it. And so at that point, the hours I was going to pull and the client obligations and all that sort of thing, it wasn't going to be possible to keep playing basketball. So I decided to hang up the basketball shoes and focus on work. So to fill that void, I started to get into bodybuilding competition, but then I really fell in love with obstacle course racing. I ended up qualifying for world championships of that in 2016 out in Lake Tahoe. And then I also did my first 24-hour World's Toughest Mudder. So it's a 24-hour obstacle race that was out in Las Vegas.
What is an obstacle race? What does it actually look like?
It's mud pits, it's walls. In certain cases in Tough Mudder, you go through these little electrocution things, which why anyone would pay to do that, I'm not sure.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. I loved it. So I did end up doing it again this past November. It was pretty
cool. Okay, so we've established that you like challenges, that you're competitive.
Yes.
And you are athletic.
Yes.
And meanwhile, you were still working in a bank. What were the next steps towards becoming a cricket farmer?
Yes. I mean, the first one obviously was me handing in my resignation as a banker. About August of last year, it really came to a head that I was not entirely happy in the high finance world. Even 3 degrees later, double majoring in my undergrad and then getting my master's in finance.
Working in finances didn't satisfy you?
Yeah, it didn't.
What did you miss?
I didn't feel like I was actually building anything or helping anyone, if that makes any sense. Granted, yes, I was making these large sums of money for this big bank. And, you know, some people would argue that money makes the world go round and allows for all of these programs that are good for people. And I agree with that to a certain extent. But there's lots of ways to make money and still do good while doing well. So I really craved that. My dad's farmed for over 30 years just outside of Ames here. My brother's actually a fighter pilot in the U.S. Air Force. So, you know, ideally he'd be the one to come back and take over and, you know, run that whole operation. For about the last year and a half before I quit my job, my parents were kind of like, well, you know, you could come back and, you know, dad could teach you to farm. And I was like, yeah, okay. I don't know if I could do that. Because growing up, you know, I wasn't really involved in the chores and stuff. I was always playing basketball or gymnastics or soccer, something.
And your parents grew
corn and soybeans for the last 30-something years. So when I quit my job August of last year, I got a flight back here for October 1st and jumped right in headfirst to harvest. So I actually traveled for about 26 hours to get back between layovers and everything. And when I got back, it was dark out and my dad goes, well, let's go move corn. And so there I was. And so right when I started, moved corn that day, learned how to run the grain cart the next 2 days, spilled corn everywhere, but it's one of those things he forgives me.
So you're also a hard worker.
Yeah, something like that. Glutton for punishment, maybe. I'm not sure. But yeah, so went through harvest all fall, and then
you brought up the idea of cricket farming?
January 1st. New Year's Day.
You came to them and said, I'm thinking about being a cricket farmer.
Yeah, so I actually, there was
okay, no, wait a minute. Where did you get the idea to do this?
I listened to a lot of podcasts, some fitness podcasts. Entomophagy, which is the eating of bugs, had come up rather often, like surprisingly. People eating crickets or down in Mexico eating chapulines, which are roasted grasshoppers. And I started looking into it, and I found an article about the Iowa cricket farmer, which was the first woman to become a cricket farmer in Iowa. She's out in Keystone, Iowa. And I sent it to both my parents. Well, what about crickets? You know, could I do this? And they both kind of looked at me like, well, that'd be kind of interesting, I guess. I don't know. And my dad said, you know, if you want to figure out a niche rather than being at the mercy of the markets that I have been for the past, you know, 30 plus years, go for it and we will try to support you as much as we can. And so 10 days later, I had ordered my first 10,000 crickets.
So what made you think that it was a viable business in this area?
I actually do a finished product. So I take it from the cricket all the way through to the protein bar or the roasted cricket. So
it's the processing that makes it
exactly.
makes it profitable.
Right, which is generally the case in any kind of farming, you know.
Yeah.
Farmers are at the low man at the totem pole, if you will. You do the majority of the work, but you're not going to get the majority of the profit. So ideally, I want a vertical integration of everything. Because otherwise, then it just becomes the same game as what my dad is in corn and soybeans.
Where did you order the crickets from?
I actually ordered the crickets from a farm down in Georgia. They have Georgia and Louisiana locations, and so they are pretty much the corner on the live market. So anyone who has like a snake or a lizard or anything that, you know, needs to be fed crickets, you generally will buy them from there. Zoos, all of them would typically buy them from this farm.
How many crickets came?
10,000.
10,000. And you got a box full of crickets jumping around?
Yeah. So I actually got two boxes of crickets.
Was the box silent or was the box making noise?
The box was silent. So these were only about 2 week old crickets.
Mm-hmm.
So crickets don't start to chirp until they are mature enough to breed.
These were baby crickets.
These were baby crickets.
So when you open up the box, they were all jumping around in there?
Well, the box was all very taped shut and everything sealed tightly. As soon as you cut open the tape, you start to have the crickets start to crawl out. So I ended up losing quite a few, I would say, just because it was my first foray into crickets, so I had no idea what I was facing. I just remember when my dad walked in the room after, he's like, there's kind of crickets everywhere. I was like, yeah, I didn't mean for that to happen. It just kind of did. Here.
So you're a brand new cricket farmer.
Oh, I am a brand new cricket farmer.
So I guess there's a lot of chirping.
Yeah.
Okay, has it been difficult or easy?
It's been simple, conceptually. Easy is a different story.
Simple, but not easy.
But not easy, yeah.
What's hard?
Part of the problem is there's very little guidance on what to do.
So it's trial and error.
Oh, 100% is trial
and error. So what's one of your biggest mistakes?
Oh, my goodness. I would say probably my biggest mistake was it would have been either my second or third round of actually hatching babies. So I had bought these tubs, big plastic storage bins that you keep them in, and you cut a hole in the top with some screen over it, and they like egg cartons because they can hide in them. And then they eat chicken feed, and then you just need a watering system. So the babies, when they hatch, they're called pinheads, and they are literally the size of a pin. They look like crickets, though. They're not larvae or anything like that, but they're teeny tiny, super easy to smash. They can drown in a droplet of water. So, like, they're difficult
very
to
delicate.
Handle. Yes, they're very delicate. So these bins had a ridge at the bottom that I didn't realize was an issue until I dumped these thousands of babies in all of these bins and then came back a couple days later and realized they couldn't get out of the ridge, and so they trampled each other and suffocated. So I probably killed about half of my population. Yeah, it was a bummer. When I went and told my parents were like, well, welcome to farming. This is how it goes.
Now, the crickets have a decent life while they're alive?
I think they do. You know, they don't have to search for water. They don't have to search for food.
Mm-hmm.
They are save the occasional spider that might get into their bin, which I have noticed the spiders have gotten a lot bigger in the room that I keep them.
You also kill the crickets?
Yes.
How old are they when you kill them?
I usually kill mine about 7 weeks. So a typical cricket will live anywhere from 8 to 10 weeks.
How does one kill so many crickets?
Freezer.
You put them in the freezer?
Put them in the freezer. Yeah.
So that's a relatively painless death, right?
It's a very natural death, because if you think about it, every single year, what happens in Iowa? It freezes.
They freeze. Uh-huh.
And all the bugs die. That's just the way
it
is.
They kind of go to sleep.
Yeah. So you freeze them and they go to sleep.
And then after they're dead, you roast them?
Yeah. So I dry roast them in the oven. So that takes care of any pathogens or anything that could have been harmful.
How have you helped people get over their fear of eating crickets or being grossed out by it?
You know, honestly, some people, I can't get them over it. But truthfully, I get a lot of people who make faces as they walk past my farmer's market stand, to say the least. if I can get them to come over, that at least allows them to engage. And a lot of times they'll be like, why would I want to eat these? And so I say, well, you know, they're 60% protein by dry weight. So that is double the protein of beef. They have more iron than spinach, more calcium than milk. You know, great source of vitamin B12, proper ratio of omega-6s to omega-3s. I was like, and they're pretty dang tasty. I can't tell you the amount of people that I've had come up and just grab a protein bar sample, eat it, and then go down and look at the dry roasted crickets and like, ew, these are crickets. And I'm like, well, you just ate some. In all honesty, the U.S. is relatively unique in the world in that we don't eat insects widespread. 80% of the world eats insects.
So other people in other countries are already eating crickets.
Absolutely. In Asia, on street markets, not uncommon to find scorpions and crickets and all sorts of things like that. So really, truly, America, bit of Western Europe and Canada, we're unique in the fact that we don't eat bugs.
You're at the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. I've seen you there a number of times. Yeah. Are you selling on any other platform?
No. As of right now, due to licensing and that sort of thing, I'm restricted to only sell at the farmer's market or direct from home. I fall under the cottage industry laws.
Are you planning to sell online eventually?
Yes. At this point, I only have about 200,000 crickets. Eventually, when I get enough crickets, I'll get a commercial kitchen, and then I'll be able to sell online. That'll allow me to sell in retailers. So ideally, that's where I'm going. But it just takes time.
Well, this is very interesting to hear the business end of it as well.
Yeah.
you're a former investment banker. You know the life of an investment. You know how to assess investments.
Mm-hmm.
What's your assessment of this?
Well, in all honesty, the typical venture capital fund is 10 years because generally from ground zero to IPO is initial public offering when a company goes public. That's when many of these venture capital funds, that's when they receive their big paybacks that they on their initial investment.
So for 10 years, you essentially invest in it yourself.
Yes.
Until it's something ready.
Right. So then you can sell off your shares for hopefully way more than you put into it. That's the goal of every venture capital fund. But generally speaking, it's a 10-year time horizon. So I was under no impression that in 7 months I was going to suddenly be this amazing, you know, company that's just making all this money, especially me by myself. You know, it's a sole proprietorship, essentially.
You're not living from this yet. You're still farming.
I am not. Luckily, I have incredibly supportive parents that are, you know, willing to help me along. And
it's only been since January, so this is still basically a pilot project.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. It's very much in its infancy.
So how many crickets do you generally have now?
Right now, I have about 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't completely outgrown the space that I'm in. Part of that was, like I said, the previous incident where I killed off half of my babies.
And are you still helping your parents with the farm?
You know, we are all soybeans this year, so labor needs are not quite as high. And honestly, this time of year, until harvest, there's not a whole lot. But obviously, once harvest starts, yeah, I'll absolutely.
Are you here to stay?
It seems I'm here to stay. I could see myself on the shelves of the Hy-Vee health food store or in Wheat's Field or in Fresh Time. You know, I could absolutely see that. I'd love to get on, obviously, like Amazon or Thrive Market, where everything is organic. They have the largest selection of non-GMO. So they're kind of like a combination of Amazon and Whole Foods. So every subscription that you or I would purchase, then they give a subscription to a family in need. So I'd love to be on something like that. Thrive Market, yeah.
Okay. Tell me what you make of all this. Are you glad that you stopped being a banker and being a cricket farmer? And what, in the end of the day, what do you think this means to you?
Yeah, you know, like I said, what I was missing is I wasn't building anything and I wasn't helping anyone. And I think I've done a complete 180 on that. I'm definitely building something from ground up. And, you know, if I can just educate someone on the benefits of crickets, it could be a baby step in changing their life and getting them more active and getting them more conscious of where their food comes from. You know, I'm do not regret handing in that letter of resignation about a year ago. I'm just grateful that I chose the harder path, if you will. You know, many people, if you would have looked at what I walked away from, they would say, you're nuts. You should have just done that for like another 5 years and been set for life. And then you could go do whatever you want to do. Sure, but what would the cost of that 5 years have been? You know, me emotionally, me physically, everything. What would have been the implications of that? Why would I start now? I'm incredibly happy. It is the road less taken, and it's much less security, and it's much less certainty, but I've never done things the easy way, so.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can hear more interviews like this on Local Talk, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on 89.1 KHOI Community Radio. You can support Community Radio through the donate button at khoifm.org.